Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. Thank you for tuning in today to our broadcast. We're really excited about what God is doing, and I'm so thankful that you're tuning in today. And we've been talking about hope, and as you think about hope, there's something about hope that I think that we tend to forget, and that hope is something that we look forward to in the future. And if you have hope, it will give you that determination to look into the future with a positive expectation. There's one little verse I want to look in Philemon chapter 1, verse 22, and actually there's just one chapter in Philemon. And verse 22 says, "And one more thing," Paul says, "prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you and answer to your prayers." Now, before we go into the rest of the broadcast, I want to spend just a moment explaining this book. And Onesimus is a main character within this book. Paul writes to Philemon. Philemon was an individual that Paul actually led to the Lord. Philemon had a slave whose name was Onesimus. Onesimus one day decided to steal from Philemon and run away. And lo and behold, as he runs away, he comes into contact with the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul does what he always does. He shares the gospel. And then Onesimus becomes a follower of Christ. Well, in their conversation and in their getting to know each other, Paul discovers that Onesimus actually is a runaway slave, and he ran away from Philemon. Well, Paul just happened to know Philemon because he also led Philemon to the Lord, and so he writes a short little note to Philemon that is called the Book of Philemon. So for 2 years during his third missionary journey, Paul's in Asia Minor. He's working with people in Ephesus. He's been very successful giving the gospel to the Gentiles. Many converts are coming to Christ there in Ephesus. And one of the guys that he leads to Christ is Philemon. Philemon, again, a slave owner living near the city of Colossae. And as he's going about his life, one of his slaves steals from him and runs away. And that slave's name is Onesimus. He escapes, but Paul finds him. So now he writes this letter to Philemon, and I love how Paul does this. Paul writes it in such a way, and I don't know if you have anybody who's a friend of yours that's real close to you, but they can actually insult you, but then you turn around and you thank them for that insult. They could say, you know, you got the ugliest baby in the world. And they say, well, thank you. But they say it in such a way that it doesn't become offensive. Well, that's how Paul is dealing with his letter as he's writing to Philemon. And so he says, Philemon, I want to thank you for all you've done. I want to let you know that we've got a mutual friend. His name is Onesimus. And as he's going through this lesson, or this letter rather, he reminds Philemon that he has been very good to Philemon. He led Philemon to the Lord. And then he talks about how Onesimus is beneficial to him and how he's been now a follower of Christ. And he says to Philemon, he says, if he owes you any money, I'd be happy to pay you back any money. But then he says, well, don't forget about all that you owe me, but we won't really even go there. But just as a little side note, you owe me your very soul, your very salvation. And so Paul sends this letter, and actually he sends it with Onesimus to Philemon. Now, we don't know what happened as a result of this letter. We don't know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. But we do know that as Paul wrote this letter, he was looking forward to having a relationship and being restored to Philemon in the future. Looking forward to spending some time with him. You know, that's what hope does. Hope prepares us to spend time with people that we love. So I want to spend some time in this broadcast not only talking about hope, but now I want to transition and I want to talk to you about the subject of anxiety. Did you know that 70% of Americans actually battle major anxiety? So this is a major problem that we have here in the United States. I was recently asked to speak to our young adult ministry, and we have a small group with young adults, and they asked me to come, and I said, well, I'd be happy to come. I said, what would you like me to speak on? And so the guy who leads that group said, would you speak on anxiety? Well, I said, well, I'd be happy to speak on anxiety. I can share some things that I've learned through the years about how to navigate and actually manage anxiety. And so I was able to teach it to these young adults, and I was able also to teach this to my dear men at Indian Creek Correctional Center. And I know they listen to the broadcast, so I want to say a quick shout out to them. And they were able to get this lesson about anxiety. So I'm hoping that this will be a blessing to you. And as you think about anxiety, we all struggle with anxiety. So the issue is not, do I struggle with anxiety? The issue is, what am I going to do with it? How am I going to manage it? So here's the first thing I would say about anxiety. I would replace it with something else. Replace it with prayer, thanksgiving, and right thinking. And I'm going to give you a passage of scripture that I'll read part of that passage of scripture with you. But before I do, I want you to think about the words that you use. The words that you use. If you're an anxious person, then you're probably thinking and saying thoughts that are filled with anxiety. You're probably saying things like, I'm worried to death, or I'm stressed out. So don't be thinking on that level. As you're thinking words that you're going to speak, don't use those words that will fuel that anxiety. Don't say, I'm so fearful. I can't believe how fearful I am. Instead, say and think differently. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but instead replace it with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So we're going to do a transfer here. When I'm stressed out, I am going to pray. I'm going to substitute, set aside that anxiety, and instead I'm going to pray. I am very fearful and get very anxious when it comes to flying. Now, I don't fly a whole lot, but every once in a while, I get on an airplane, and I've got to go on a mission trip, and I've got to get, there's no other way to get there except to get on an airplane. And so I have discovered what helps me when I am filled with anxiety is not only I pray for myself, but I get a bunch of people praying for me. So before I head on a mission trip this summer, I'm going to ask our congregation, hey, would you pray for your pastor? Right? He's kind of a coward. And it's not that I'm afraid of flying. I just hate being stuck in that plane. You know, you get in that plane, they seal that door off, and you're not going to get out no matter what you try to do. You are trapped in that plane. That's what bothers me. It's not the flying, it's being trapped in that plane. So we pray. And then we also give thanks. I have found that I cannot be an anxious person at the same time that I'm filled with thanksgiving. They cannot occupy the same mind. We are told in everything to give thanks. It is amazing to me how thanksgiving will release me of my anxieties. We also learn that not only are we to give prayers and right thinking and we're to have thanksgiving, but we're also to think different. Now, if you want to know where this passage is, it's found in Philippians chapter 4. I just read verse number 6, and now I want to go down to verse number 8. Paul says, finally, brothers, think on these things. Now, before we get through this list, I want you to remember where Paul is when he wrote this letter. He was under house arrest. You would think that'd be a very stressful time in his life, but it wasn't. Because he used that as a time of praying. He used that as a time of giving thanks. I told the young people that I met with the other night, I says, I want to ask you a question when you think about anxiety. Sometimes we get anxious because our thoughts are not right. So I asked them, I says, has anybody in this small group tonight, has anybody been in an accident? Raise your hand. Well, nobody that day had been in a car accident. I said, that's something to be thankful about today. And I said, has any one of you in this room lost your job today? Anybody been fired today? Nobody raised their hand. I said, that's a good thing to be happy about. You did not lose your job today. And I said, let me ask you another question. Is anybody hungry in this room? Now, we had just eaten a big meal, so nobody said they were hungry. I said, that is something to be thankful for. You are not hungry. I said, is anybody worried about their next meal? Raise their hand. Nobody raised their hand. You see, when you think and you have just a moment to pause, we have so much to be thankful for. As you think about your thoughts, Paul reminds us that we are to think a certain way. Here's the list. Number one, think on things that are true. That is, things that are not false, but true. Think on things that are honorable. Are the thoughts I'm having right now, are they respectful thoughts? Are they honorable thoughts? Think on things that are just. Now notice Paul doesn't use the word fair, he uses the word just. You know, God is not a fair God, but he is a just God. If God did what was fair with humanity, all of us would be separated from him. That would be the fair thing to do because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Paul goes on this list and he says, God is just. We ought to be thinking about things that are just. We ought to be thinking about things that are pure. Don't let impure thoughts invade your mind. Think on things that are pure. Paul continues by saying, think on things that are lovely, things that are commendable. If there is anything that is excellent, or there's anything that is worthy of praise, think on these things. So we learn from this first step of overcoming anxiety is that we've got to replace it with prayer, thanksgiving, and right thinking. Rick Warren said this, you know, the more you pray, the less you'll panic. The more you worship, the less you worry. You'll feel more patient and less pressured. So here's a second thing about anxiety, and this I think will really help you as you navigate through anxiety, is that you got to trust something that is bigger than you are able to receive on your own. Realize that God wants to give you something bigger than the pressure that you are feeling when you're feeling anxious. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, don't be anxious about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or your body about what you're going to put on. He says, is not your life more important than food? And is not your body more than just clothing? And then he gives us this illustration. And he says, look out at the birds of the air. They neither sow or reap nor gather into the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, you know, the birds, you're worth more than the birds. And he takes care of the birds, and how much more would he take care of you? So Jesus continues on down this list, and he says, look at how the Heavenly Father feeds them. And then he says, don't be anxious about your height. You can't add any to your height. Don't worry about it. And don't worry about the length of your life. You can't make it any longer. You know, the Bible is very clear. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You can't add to your life. You can't subtract from your life. Paul says, why are you anxious about what you're going to wear? He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So when we look at what Paul is trying to teach us, or what Jesus rather is trying to teach us, he wants us to look at the birds of the air and say, listen, I take care of the birds of the air. You're more important than they are. As a matter of fact, when you look at how God created us, he did something different when he created us. It says in the Bible that when God created us, he created us in the image of God. It also says that he breathed into us, into our nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, when you think about that, God gave us a soul. That's what that's referring to, that living being part. That soul is the real part of you that's going to live on forever and ever. God did not give a soul to the animal kingdom. He didn't give a soul to any other part of his kingdom, but he gave it to us. So if we're anxious about what we're supposed to wear, we shouldn't be, because God takes care of the ravens of the air. God makes the lilies look beautiful, and they don't toil or spin to get that beauty. If they have that beauty, how much more will we have that beauty ourselves? So trust something that is bigger than you can actually produce and receive God's full acceptance, and that will lower your anxiety. Here's the third thing that I find very helpful when I'm feeling anxious, and that is that I believe that I can overcome. David said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you're defeated, guess what you are? Philippians 4:13 is a verse I know that you know very well. But I want to look at this verse a little bit differently, because I think sometimes we misquote this verse. And I'm not talking about the words that we use in this verse. We misquote this verse by putting the emphasis on the wrong part of this verse. I think many people will read this verse and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But really, it's just the opposite. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where our strength comes from. In Christ. It's not in my own power. It is in His power. I become anxious when I trust my power. You think about what anxiety is. Anxiety is I'm feeling like I'm losing control over something. I'm losing control over a decision. I'm losing a control over a person. I'm losing control over my future. And I'm getting stressed out because I am losing control. I want you to know something. You and I don't have a whole lot of control about what happens to us in the first place. God is the one that controls our destiny. He is sovereign. He is in control. And if we trust Him, out goes anxiety. Well, here's the fourth thing that you can do when you're feeling overcome with anxiety. And as you listen to this one, you're going to think, well, this is crazy. Be humble. You say, what does humble have to do with anxiety? When you are filled with anxiety, you have become self-centered. You have turned everything back to you. We all do that. We learn in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God so that He can lift you up, He can exalt you at the right time. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So here we see that we're dealing with anxiety in this verse, and Peter tells us that we are to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God or under the mighty hand of God. Now, why do we have to do that? We have to do that because we are struggling with this matter of control. And then he says, and he uses a fishing term, he says, after you have humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God, you see you're anxious because you're not under His mighty hand. You're trying to get out from under His control. You're fighting Him. And he says, you're not going to win in this fight. So if you will willingly, there's no forcing here, if you willingly humble yourselves, you know, if you don't willingly humble yourself, God does something else. He allows us to be humiliated. Humiliation happens when we are forced to be humbled. Here we learn in this verse that we are to willingly humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that He will exalt us at the right time. And then he says, cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for you. So as we look at this verse, we are caring for our own struggles when we're not under the mighty hand of God. Now, this seems opposite, right? It seems like that we'd have more control, then we'd be less anxious. But it's actually this trying to control something that we cannot control that is causing us to be filled with anxiety. So Peter tells us, get under the mighty hand of God, which seems opposite, but it's what we need to do, and then cast our care upon Him because He cares for you. Well, number six, I want you to remember when you're filled with an anxiety that there's somebody who's never going to leave you. Jesus will never leave you. Remember who will never leave you. When we look at the book of Joshua, it's an interesting passage in Joshua 1:9. Joshua is being commanded by Moses, and Moses says, have I not commanded you, speaking on behalf of God? Joshua, be strong, be courageous, don't be frightened, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, this is a transition of leadership when we see that Joshua is now taking control and leading the nation of Israel. Now, I kind of feel bad for Joshua because if you look at the book before Joshua, the book of Deuteronomy, Joshua and Moses have this meeting, and Moses says, hey, Joshua, you're going to be taking over, and you have nothing to worry about. Just as these people obeyed me, they're going to obey you. And I'd be scratching my head on that and kind of chuckling. I said, now, wait a minute, Moses. These people did nothing but disobey you. They were a thorn in your side for 40 years as you led them through the wilderness. I don't want them to obey me like they obeyed you. So God knew that Joshua was going to need some extra assurance because he was feeling anxious. I mean, he had some big shoes to fill. I mean, I don't know that I'd want to follow after Moses. I mean, Moses lived to be 120 years old, and Moses spent the first 40 years of his life trying to be a somebody. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. He had everything. And then at age 40, he commits murder, and he realizes he's a nobody, and he's hiding out in the wilderness. At age 80, he has the burning bush experience, and finally, he is a blessing to everybody the last 40 years of his life. So if you're listening to me and you're 80 years old or older, I want you to know God's not finished with you. This is probably just the beginning of your ministry at age 80. God has spent all this time preparing you for what he wants you to do. So don't give up. Don't become overwhelmed with anxiety. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. An amazing thing happens when I trust in the Lord with all my heart. My heart is no longer anxious. My heart is at ease. Jeremiah 29:11, I know it's a very popular verse, and it's a good verse. But if you look at the chapter of Jeremiah 29, it's a bad chapter. I mean, bad things are happening in Jeremiah 29. There's a lot of things falling apart with the nation. God's going to allow his judgment to fall on the nation, and things are falling apart for them. But in the middle of all this, God gives a good verse. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for a welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah has been going through all these reasons why they should have no hope, why they should be stressed out, why they should be filled with anxiety. And he said, oh, by the way, let me remind you of something. God has a plan for you. You may be in the midst of evil, but God has a plan to prosper you and to give you a future and a hope. Just hang in there. Remember, he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Well, there's one final thing that I think will help you if you have this battle with anxiety going on, and that is live just one day at a time. One day at a time. God doesn't give you enough grace for tomorrow. He only gives you grace for today. This is how Jesus put it in Matthew 6:34. He says, in verse 33 says, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. And in verse 34, he says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I want you to know you're always going to be at one or three places in your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You're going to find yourself constantly in one of three places. Number one, you're right in the middle of trouble. I think I spend a lot of time there. Or number two, you're coming right out of trouble. And maybe that's where you are today. God's been good to you. You've come out of some things and you're doing pretty good. But you're going to be going to number three real quick. And that is you're getting ready to go back into trouble. Job said, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble as the sparks fly upward." You know, one of the ministries that we have at our church is probably one of my favorite ministries. And I guess I would say everyone was my favorite whenever I'm talking about them. But we have a ministry called Celebrate Recovery. And at the conclusion of our Celebrate Recovery meeting every Sunday night, and you're always invited to come and join us Sunday night at 6 o'clock at Hickory Ridge Community Church, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Our address is 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia. I'd love to meet you if you come on down to Celebrate Recovery. We'll give you a good meal. We'll spend some time with you, try to encourage you to get past your hurts, your habits, and your hangups. Every night when we close out Celebrate Recovery, we always say the Serenity Prayer. This prayer was written back in the 1940s, and I want to read this prayer, and then I'll make a few comments about this prayer, but I hope that this will really help you today. The prayer goes like this: "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and ever in the next." What a powerful prayer that is. God, give me the serenity. That's the peace of God in my life. God, give me the courage that I need. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. God, give me the wisdom. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, and God will give it to you generously without finding fault. These three benefits we learn as we pray and live out the serenity prayer. I am praying for you today that you will not be overcome with anxiety, but you will cast your care upon the Lord because He cares for you. Hey, if we can help you in any way, I encourage you to give me a call. The church phone number is 757-421-7500, 757-421-7500. I would love to help you any way I can. Feel free to call me anytime. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett thanking you for tuning in today. And I pray, Lord, that this will be a day that has been pre-planned and a day that we will be releasing anxiety and the stress. We'll be setting it aside and we're going to be filled with the Spirit. We're not going to become overwhelmed because we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.